Hi, my name is Anand, and Anand means happiness. When I talk about happiness, I want to mention that HR as a subject brings a lot of happiness to me from a personal and professional point of view. After spending 22 years in the HR industry, I am glad to share that my learning curve has always been one of the major achievements, because I am a strong believer that the day you stop learning is the day you stop growing. Hence, all my students of International HRM, please ensure that your learning curve is something which you always take the charge of. With 22 plus years of HR experience, I am passionate about people management. I am passionate about process management. I am passionate about my family. I am into singing. I am into cooking. I host events. At the same time, I love to do what I am passionate about, and I am always passionate about people management. So as an International HRM subject, I request all of you to please pick up this subject with full of passion, because the more you are passionate, the more you will be able to understand this subject, and this subject will help you to understand entire HR as a topic which we are going to deep dive into. Today, we are going to focus on the first chapter, which is International HRM and its introduction. The key learning objective of this particular program is discussed in the following way. The concept of International HRM, the difference between international and domestic HRM, critical components of IHRM, the current IHRM scenario, the transition from the international HRM to global HRM, and the contemporary development in the international HRM. Let's first focus on HRM as a concept. Human resource management. In layman's language, in simple language, managing your people, managing your processes, managing your business, and at the end, ensuring that we are a fruitful and a profitable organization. Everything boils down to our people, because our people are the biggest asset of our organization. And hence, when I say HRM, human resource management, it's all about managing your people. It's all about managing your processes and to ensure that how we become the live wire of the organization. You are the nerve system which is gonna supply the blood and the oxygen to the organization. And that's why I always say human resource management is one of the most critical functions in every organization. Along with this, we are also gonna touch base on the domestic HRM and the international HRM as a part of our learning curve. Along with that, what are the key components of IHRM, which is International Human Resource Management, the current scenario and where we are heading to, where we were, where we are, and where we are heading to is what will be few examples and few scenarios which we will discuss as a part of our learning process. At the same time, the transition from the current domestic to the international market and vice versa will also give us from few insights of the international HRM market scenario. And at the same time, what are the key developments which are happening into the international HRM forum is what our focus would be all about. Now moving on, what will be the key learning of this particular syllabus, this particular program? What is international HRM? What are the key differences between international and domestic HRM? The key three components in IHRM, which is International Human Resource Management, the current scenario of the IHRM, the contemporary developments in the international HRM, and of course, at the end, we'll have a quick summary of what we have discussed. Very important part of this, let's understand the core meaning of HRM or international HRM as a subject, as a concept. International Human Resource Management, IHRM, is a field of study that focuses on the management of human resources in multinational corporates and other global organizations. Friends, please remember, here the focus on the HRM definitely is from an international business perspective. With due respects, we do work for local organizations, Indian organizations, and international organizations. With this particular subject of IHRM, our focus is more on the multinational corporations and international business, and that is how we are going to progress our entire study and our learning on this. It also involves the application of HRM, principles of HRM, and the practices of managing people into different cultures, different institutes, both from legal and international perspective, and the different concepts across the international and domestic borders will also be a key element of this particular subject. If you go through the diagram, it clearly mentions that as an international human resource management, these are the key elements, these are the key topics which we as a team are going to discuss upon. IHRM comprises of typical employee lifecycle management functions, and every HR has a typical functions where every HR processes are clearly defined. For example, recruitment, selection, training and development, performance management, performance appraisal, dismissals, etc., etc., are the key elements which we all are going to discuss as a part of our HR practices. With this, we'll continue ahead. This is also at the domestic, global, and international level, where additional exercises as a part of our global skills management, managing the expats, and managing the overall business are the key elements which we are going to discuss as a part of our human resource management process, particularly keeping IHRM as a part of our learning process. IHRM studies varies from the understanding of management of expats, importance of the changing nature of expats, and of course, the ever dynamic role change of HR as a function on managing these expats. At the same time, the reason for which we are getting new managers, particularly women managers, as a part of our learning from an international field, from an international importance point of view. At the same time, while keeping them abreast about all the new development which is happening in our HR industry, it is equally important for us to retain these skill sets, to retain them as a part of our learning curve in the organization, and at the end, how we are able to solve all the problems which are associated as a part of our HRM, particularly IHRM processes as a part of our learning curve. The role of particularly women HR today is one of the most critical role which we all need to focus upon. Today, all women employees are at par when it comes to not only at domestic processes, but at the same time at international level today, both men and women are working at par. Both have the equal competency, and at the same time, I am not want to put on a bad face, or I don't want to comment anything on their personal attributes or personal physical attributes or their perception about things. But today, I think both men and women are equally at par, and the way females are doing business, particularly into the HR fraternity, is tremendous. I really appreciate all my women entrepreneurs, all my women leaders in the organization, particularly focusing on the international woman IHRM point of view. I have seen women doing marvelous work in the field of human resource management, particularly on the international business. At the same time, also I want to emphasize to all my friends that any multinational company in which we are getting associated with is an institution, a company which includes all the subsidiaries outside the home country, which relies on the business experience, expertise, or manufacturing capabilities of the parent company. So when I say a MNC is a multinational company which has its presence in one country, one state, or whichever place they are operating from, and slowly and gradually they expand their business all across the globe. And that is why today MNCs are something which has been one of the key elements of the overall GDP of every country. At the same time, they are equally creating lot of job opportunities into the market. At the same time, there's a lot of profit sharing, which at the end contributes to the overall national development and the international development as a part of our MNC culture. So every MNC today is a global subsidiary where they are associated in their home country, but at the same time, as a part of their expansion, as a part of their journey, they are spread all across the globe. And today we see so many multinational companies being associated with each and every, you know, particular countries where they are operating from. But as a part of an international MNC, I am really, really proud to say that we as a student, we as a learners have a lot of opportunities which are currently available for all of us from the international HRM point of view, particularly keeping MNC as a culture. Now, let us understand the concept of MNC from a home country, a hometown point of view, and from an international point of view. Generally, a MNC is considered to have number of businesses in different countries, but managed as a whole from the headquarters where they are located as a country. For example, I am based at India, so I am headquartered in India, but I have my global presence and I have at least 2 to 3 countries where I am operating from. Hence, as a MNC, currently I am headquartered at India, but I have my global presence in 3 or 4 countries all across the globe. Similarly, from an Indian context point of view, a foreign multinational is a company originally set up in the country outside India and expands their business in India. For example, there is a popular brand, maybe a brand of a cold drink, or a brand of any particular in FMCG, and they are not present in India. And now, as a part of their expansion, they would want to get into India and operate in India. That's how the difference of an MNC from an Indian context point of view and a difference of MNC where they are operating in India, but they are headquartered at somewhere else. And there are many examples who are currently operating vice versa, either in India and they have an international presence outside India, and an international brand which is not currently in India, and as a part of their expansion, now they are getting into India and they are operating the India business as well. That's how, as a MNC, we are operating from both from an Indian perspective and from an international perspective. And that's the beauty of international HRM. Particularly, if you understand the HR processes in little deeper, it is going to help you to understand this subject much deeper. And friends, trust me, this will be a wonderful learning, a wonderful journey, a wonderful experience, because international HRM not only will give you wings from a domestic business point of view, but also it will expand the international dimensions for each one of you from your learning curve. When I move on, particularly from an Indian MNC point of view, it is a company that is originally set up in India and it has expanded into multiple foreign locations. That's how we differentiate between an Indian MNC and international MNC. Indian MNC, headquartered in India, operates from India. Similarly, global MNC who are currently operating in India, but their hometown, their base presence is into an international location. And that's how we need to differentiate between a global MNC and an Indian MNC. Let's move on to the next part. How do we differentiate between an international HRM and the domestic HRM? The concept itself is very, very simple for each one of us. When you operate and your entire business is from a Indian context point of view, we are referring to a domestic HRM business, wherein our complete reach, our complete process, our entire processes, our entire P&L, everything where we are getting into is from a Indian business point of view. Whereas the international HRM is going beyond your country, moving ahead and taking care of other geographies beyond your home country. That's how IHRM and domestic HRM will be the key differentiators. Few of the key elements on which we can differentiate these two concepts is as under. In an international HRM, we address the broad range of services, particularly from a HRM activities point of view. Whereas into a domestic HRM, we address them at a very, very narrow level because here the focus is purely domestic, whereas in international, the focus is purely beyond your country, beyond your region, and that's how you will be able to cater to both the segments. But of course, the domestic HRM has a narrow visibility, whereas international HRM has an international visibility. For example, if you're operating from your hometown, all your policies, procedures, governance, everything from a business and a P&L point of view will be restricted to your home country. Whereas from international exposure point of view, if you are doing international business and international HRM as a part of your learning, definitely it is going to broaden your horizon and you will be able to concentrate more, not only on one particular state or one particular country, of course, beyond that. And that's the reason MNC has a larger reach compared to a domestic HRM. HR issues related to the employees have no longer been from a longing and from a more than one nationality. When we talk about international HRM, we have global presence. Our employees are not restricted only to one particular country or one particular region. They are internationally present, and that's the reason the concept of having expats is something which has definitely increased a lot in the past few years, because a lot of international businesses are operating not only from India, even from outside India. And that's the reason the international exposure is helping each one of us to broaden our horizon, to improve our reach, and at the same time, to reach more clients and generate more business. At the same time, from a domestic HRM point of view, HRM related issues from employees, they belong to only one particular single nationality. That's a disadvantage which a particular MNC will face, because here they have bordered themselves only into that one particular zone, one particular area, one particular line of business. Whereas with international HRM, we are getting exposed not only to one particular country, we are going beyond different countries and trying to reach out different people from a international HRM perspective. With international HRM, there is a greater exposure, greater risk into the international assignments. It not only gives multiple opportunities for our employees to go and work beyond your home location, beyond your one particular place where you're operating from. With international HRM, it gives you a lot of multiple opportunities where from a work from home and from a global presence and with remote working culture, from one particular location, you can also operate multiple locations and you can move around different countries, different cities, and that's how you will be able to get exposed to international dimensions and work on international boundaries. Whereas with domestic HRM, here the focus is purely from one particular country basis on the nature of business they are getting into. This is how we can clearly differentiate between the geographies. So when I take an example of a domestic HRM in one particular country, all the global compliances focuses on that particular country from a compliance point of view. Whereas if you are an international HRM student, here the focus is beyond your home country. It also expands your horizon and you can learn new concepts, new international policies. And that's how we all, as a part of our learning community, can add more value to our global businesses. Moving on ahead, there are a lot of issues when it comes to having external factors, which is typically being governed as a part of our foreign countries. So we have to manage several external factors such as government regulations of the foreign country. For example, as a part of my business, I am based in India or I am based at US. All my compliances are particularly from that particular base location point of view. But with international HRM business, we get exposure to international boundaries. We don't restrict ourselves only to one particular country and one particular compliances. Along with my country business, with my base location, I also need to take care of my international business. And that's how the exposure of both domestic and international will make you a more thorough professional, because today everything has come to a one small place, whereas we all are divided from geographies, but from an international globalization point of view, we are just a click away. And at a single click of button, we are exposed. We are getting experiences from different locations all across the country. Whereas from a domestic HRM point of view, of course, the scope is very limited, because here we put ourselves in a small box and our entire exposure is purely from a domestic business point of view. Hence, the international exposure will not only give you additional strength from a domestic business point of view, but the moment you are exposed to an international business, it will also give you a broader horizon of international businesses. And that's the reason, as a part of our IHRM, our focus is not only on the domestic business, but along with domestic business, my base location, how I can develop more business, how I can develop more revenue, how we can grow beyond one particular country and start working into multiple locations, multiple offices. And that's how international HRM exposure is going to help you from overall learning point of view. Now that we have understood the difference between international HRM and domestic HRM, let's now further divide and understand the components of international HRM. Particularly, the international HRM is now described between three important components. The first important component of an international HRM is cross-cultural management. The second part is the comparative HRM, and the last part is the international HRM. Let us understand these three components in detail to be able to understand international HRM as a subject. Let's focus on the first part of our subject, which is cross-cultural management. As a part of cross-cultural management, every nation today has its unique values, which influences the society and the workplace dynamics. When I talk about a cross-cultural dynamics, particularly from an international MNC point of view, from an international business point of view, all these values, all these influences are gonna be there as a part of your working culture, whether you are operating from one particular country or multiple countries. The moment you are working for an MNC, automatically your value system, your influential capabilities, automatically cross culturally, it's gonna involve your businesses, and it is gonna highly influence the workplace dynamics as a part of your international business assignment. From a cultural point of view, a cultural stereotype, for example, all Asians are good at maths, is something which we all need to avoid. Please try to understand, days are gone where we were highly influenced by one set of people, one set of business, one set of category wherein we were getting influenced by each other. But please try to understand, today, from an international HRM point of view, from a cross-cultural management point of view, keeping yourself and restricting yourself into a one particular zone or one particular area of work, or targeting only one particular segment from a cross-cultural management point of view is something which will not be a fruitful association. Hence, typecasting anybody as a part of your HR processes should be avoided. Hence, please accept all feedback. Please accept all challenges with open arms. Take these challenges positively. Work on that, because as a part of our cross-cultural management program, we need to create more awareness to ensure that we are able to take all people along with us. We are able to take everybody as a team, work together as a team to ensure that our entire cross-cultural dynamics are visible from a short-term and from a long-term point of view. At the same time, today organization behaviors varies across the nations due to a lot of cultural differences. Particularly, if I want to take an example, if you are operating from one of the countries, we are highly influenced by the cuisine of that particular nation, by the culture of that particular nation. But when we talk about organizational behavior from an organizational cross-cultural management point of view, it's very important for each one of us to understand these behaviors, understand these cultures, and try to merge everything in a positive way and accept everybody. And hence we say unity in diversity is a beautiful example for many countries today who are operating internationally. Personally, I know many of my Japanese colleagues, many of my Japanese friends who are fond of Japanese food, after coming to India, they are passionate about all the Indian food which they are currently consuming. Particularly the vada pav of Mumbai or any of these cuisine which are very famous in one particular state in India is highly appreciated by them. And vice versa, when we go outside India, when we go to Japan and when we taste their food, that's how we both are not only exchanging our food habits, exchanging our cultural, we are also engaging each other into different cross-cultural management, and that's how it's gonna help each one of us from a long-term perspective to not only focus on our own organization, but at the same time when getting exposed in between as a part of our process from your cross-cultural management point of view, it will also help you to understand the dynamics of culture and how different cultures are gonna influence each one of us from our international business point of view. Our international HR managers must be aware of the different cultural impacts which happens on the HR practices. Many a times we all are carried away by our own old practices and we forget to update our database. We forget to update our base wherein we many a times may not be exposed to the international laws, but as a part of our cross-cultural management, it really, really helps us not only to focus on your base location, but also helps you to enhance your HR practices at the international level. Cultural orientation also influences the recruitment process, the appraisal process, and the rewards and recognition program as a part of your HR practices. Many a time, because we are highly influenced by our culture, because we are not exposed to different cross-cultural parameters by which we may have made some mistake in our past, we get biased in our hiring process. We get biased in our recruitment process. Just a while ago, we took the example that all Asians are good at maths. While yes, everybody is good at maths, why we are targeting only one particular segment? Because from an international HRM point of view, the entire world, the globe is a marketplace, the globe is a workplace for each one of us. On the same line, a lot of your recruitment process, a lot of your appraisal process are highly influenced by the cross-cultural dynamics, and very important, your rewards and recognition has to be unbiased, because the moment you are biased in your international HRM point of view, trust me, from a cross-cultural management, it is going to have a negative impact in your entire career. Hence, always remember, while we all are highly influenced by the culture around us, we also need to ensure, we also need to take care that we are unbiased from the recruitment appraisals, rewards and recognition, and from an overall HRM point of view. And hence, the culture management is a very important part of our cross-cultural management from an international HRM point of view.